You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
And here we are, episode 100. Dun 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 dun!
There's going to be like fireworks and explosions and all kinds of cool stuff.
Pew 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 pew! Oh, yes, we started this podcast back on September 12th, 2014. 4 years strong.
Golly, it has been 4 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. So to celebrate this momentous occasion, we had to kind of go outside our normal price range of our regular smokes and get something a little special. And when you think about cigars, there's probably one man who's synonymous with the history and culture of cigars. So what are we smoking this week, Brad?
So this week we are smoking the Davidoff, the Late Hour Churchill, and this
dedicated to Sir Winston Churchill himself.
Yeah, now this cigar is quite unique. One, we don't talk about too many Davidoff cigars on the podcast. I mean, I've only had a handful, but yeah. Those handful, they're typically not the powerhouses, but as far as construction, quality, and, you know, just all around this, I've never had a bad experience with Davidoff.
Yeah, Davidoff is more of your high-end luxury brand, so it's like just about all their cigars are kind of too expensive to be a daily smoke for me. And a lot of the stuff tends to be on the lighter side, but... And I've been wanting to try the Winston Churchill cigars, but I said at a $22 price point, it's one of them that's like, nah, do I want to get two cigars or just one cigar today? But since we're here at episode 100, I'm gonna try this. Yeah.
And kind of what makes this cigar unique is this actually contains tobacco that has been aged for 6 months in a single malt Scotch whiskey cask. And... you know, I'm not a fan of infused cigars all that much. I've had a couple that, were semi all right. But by and large, I stay away from anything infused. But, this here, just being aged in the cask, it definitely brings that maltiness, the richness, I guess we'll just go ahead and get into the composition of the cigar and what makes it up and everything as we go in. So this is going to be Nicaraguan Condega Visis tobacco together with two different Dominican Visis filler tobaccos and a dark Mexican binder.
All wrapped in an oily and shiny Habano Ecuador wrapper. Yeah. So this is definitely a little bit darker than, and actually like a little stronger than most Davidoffs I've come across.
Yeah, I mean this almost reminds me of, you just look at the construction, this thing just screams richness just looking at it. I mean, it's one of those that when you see a box of them, like, this cigar captures your attention because you can just see the light gleaming off of it and stuff. So, I mean...
yeah, and they come in three different sizes, but being this is a cigar for Winston Churchill, got to go with the Churchill size, which, don't usually smoke the Churchill sizes that much anymore. They've kind of... in the modern era, the big 660 and the big ring gauge have kind of been the new hotness.
Well,
but
here's the issue
Churchill
that I have
is a classic size.
With the Churchill is when it comes to travel humidors and everything.
Oh yeah, it's barely fit in mine.
the length is what stops me from making this a travel size. Now you almost run into the other issue with a 660 because then it's like, well, I have, not a length problem, but a girth problem.
That's what she said.
Yes. Typical cigar nerd fashion.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, you know, black pepper, dark coffee, leather, you know, a woodiness and a richness. I mean, this is, so far this cigar is just, you know, been really intriguing. And I didn't make the mistake that I've made on previous episodes of smoking a powerhouse. I'm going into this cigar with a fresh palate.
And another thing too is because I'm kind of a history and science nerd and stuff. If you go to the, you know, the link for the cigar description will be in our on our show notes on the website. But if you go to the Davidoff website that describes the cigar, they have like a little mini documentary where they interviewed Winston Churchill's great grandson, and he tells all kind of stories about, you know, Churchill and his love of cigars and stuff. And it was kind of interesting. I fell down a YouTube hole this morning watching that as I was going over my notes. It was fairly interesting. So if you're planning a amphibious assault on France or whatnot, call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. It will get you through D-Day and beyond, and pairs well with scotch and cigars.
Yes.
Or at least keep you awake enough so you
much,
can smoke
much
more.
Scotch.
You know, yeah. As this cigar is called the late hour, because, you know, Winston Churchill did his best thinking in late night sessions, you know, so will Strike Force keep you up for those late night sessions. And without further ado, I guess we'll see what we're talking about this week.
Pass me a cigar and a large glass of brandy. I'm about to take you up prematurely, like your family. I'm the Rhyme Minister, fresh in a hat and dinner jacket. You look like a mix of Epic Lloyd and a Pringles packet. I was saving the planet from an axis of darkness while you were back home opening national parks. You were born asthmatic, you're going to choke hard while I wake up every day and chain smoke cigars. I'll fight you on the beaches, I'll fight you on the beaches. Anywhere you want to fight, I'll fight you and I'll beat you. See, I might be battling you even though I'm toasted, but tomorrow I'll be sober and you'll still be roasted.
Welcome back to the podcast. For the 100th time.
But yeah, so, you know, this episode is actually going to be quite unique. You know, just for the sheer fact that most of the time when we do a podcast, there's a bit of research and, you know, movie watching and, you know, quite a bit of prep that goes into said podcast.
General fuckery. Yes.
You know, which, you know, there is a lot of general fuckery, but, I mean, that is just the nature of podcasting in general, right? This time around, we're just winging it. It's off the cuff. We have no sets.
It's episode, you know, 100, so we wanted to kind of do something.
This is the fuck it all episode.
Yeah, this is like, we kind of want to do something special and talk about the, you know, where we've come from and, you know, kind of the highlights of the last 4 years of podcasting. We kind of wanted to try to track down some of our former guests from previous episodes and bring them back on, but unfortunately, everyone was busy this weekend, so...
Well, I mean, it's...
Shit happens.
Sunday, and, you know, my schedule was kind of up in the air, and then, you know, it just... You know, life in general, man. I don't know. You know, I got to figure out how to become a streamer or a YouTuber or something, you know, that way I can just, you know, have people give me money.
Yeah, we got to start a Twitch channel.
I guess I got to, like, shave the beard and look like I'm a, you know... Young gun, you know, dropping knowledge.
We got to start.
Hey, here's all the hard ass video games that you wish you could
start
play.
As a Twitch channel so people can smoke along, and
I'm pretty sure Twitch has probably got something where you can't do that.
Probably not. Or a
they got a lot of crazy rules. Like, you know, you can drop the F bomb all you want. You know, I mean, there for a while it was, you know, the chicks in bras and underwear, you know, grabbing people's attention. I think they kind of shut that down, you know. I mean, it's like, yeah. So, you know, for it to be that kind of medium, you know, it's rather limiting.
Start as a Patreon or some other.
There is. You can find us on the ESO Patreon.
Yeah, we got to figure out a way to make money off this show. We need to, like, you know, start as a t-shirt company or something like every other podcast does, but then those guys also has, you know, millions of listeners where we have like, you know, thousands of listeners.
So here's what we need. All the thousands of listeners, tell like five people.
Yeah, go on YouTube, or not YouTube, freaking iTunes, Stitcher, all the places, and leave us ranks and reviews and share the podcast. I tell you what, was it...
But I got to say, though, you know, when we first talked about, you know, sitting around the cigar shop and, you know, hey, we're, you know, like to get into the podcast world, but neither one of us, you know, I mean, I had a little bit of audio production stuff just because I've, you know, always loved music and everything else. And I'm like, hey, I can, you know, mix and master, you know, said podcast, but, you know, we got to get some equipment and some other stuff and, you know, actually...
Quick to the YouTubes and Googles!
Yeah, so, you know, that kind of started, you know, the gears turning, you know, and that's often times, like, when you're out and about and people's like, yeah, I've thought about doing a podcast, but what does it take? And...
Yeah, I know, and it's like, since we... Because when we first started off, it was like, I was listening to podcasts, but they were all like celebrity and professional people doing podcasts, is like actors, comedians, whatnot. But then I found, when I got to looking, I found a few guys that were like us, local dudes, like at the time, Strangeway and Dr. Q had a podcast that they no longer do. But I was like, oh, cool. People who aren't famous can do podcasts and make it sound like a professional show. So that's something that, you know, we could do. And hell, since then, I don't know, there's like three or four of our friends that have started podcasts since then. Kind of Corey, who was on his YouTube show, and he set in for an episode. They've started a podcast. Eric Carpenter, our tattoo guy that we've interviewed, he's started a Warhammer podcast now. So it's like, it's, yeah, I think you become more popular and more easy to get into, I think, than...
Well,
than what
I mean,
we originally imagined.
I mean, you know, before, I mean, we got into podcasting, like you said, before it was ever really a big thing. I mean, I can remember, you know, talking to folks about a podcast and like, what is a podcast? You know, or, you know, if they were in a nerd, you know, group or something, then they would, you know, automatically default to, oh, like Nerdist. Like, no, not like Nerdist.
Yeah, he has money.
This is a whole different level of nerddom. So, I mean... Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a fun ride. And, you know, it's like you said, you know, something you can bring your friends in, you can, you know, be as serious, or, you know, you got a medium to do with whatever the hell you so choose. And that's the beauty of podcasts, you know, not everybody's going to like it, and that's okay.
Yeah, because we knew we could turn on the microphones and maybe generate some kind of content for an hour, but as far as like the technical side of things, like had no clue what we were doing. Like before the podcast even came out, like we had episode one, we'd kind of recorded probably a month before we actually ever posted it and tinkered with it. And I even went to Dragon Con that year and went to like all the podcasting tracks just to try to pick up knowledge. And that's the first time I'd talked to him via email. It's the first time I had met, you know, director Mike Faber of the ESO Network, you know, face to face. And it was like, all right, cool. We kind of have a good idea for the content side, but like, tell me about like, you know, website recommendations and like, you know, the building the infrastructure of the podcast. And he had, you know, gave us some good advice. And like I said, other than that, it was long hours of YouTube trying to figure out how to design a website and get this shit up to iTunes and wherever.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that was one of the, you know, kind of the passion, you know, side of things of, you know, and, you know, what I wanted to do is, you know, there's so many podcasts, not knocking anybody, you know, but, you know, where it's, you know, recorded over a headset microphone or something. And, you know, it's just the content can be great, but the audio quality just kind of, it kills me, you know, and I'm like, you know, and, you know, what I wanted to do was figure out a way to, you know, be a step above. You know, I'm not a professional, you know, producer or anything, but I was like, you know, I want about folks driving down the road to not constantly have to be sitting there fighting with their volume controls.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, it's gotten to the point now, like, it's like, I try to listen to podcasts, and I'm like, if the audio quality is like too bad, I'm just like, I can't do it. It's like, it's like, I don't want to say I've become a snob, but I like, I know the work that goes into it. Then I'm like, oh, just get that extra time, just make it sound.
But I mean, you know, that's kind of the thing, right? I mean, you know, there's an initial startup cost to doing that, and you know, I mean,
and by all means, like I said, I went back and listened to a little bit of episode one and how much we've like advanced since then. Because I mean, the first episode we didn't even have microphones; we were like recording on the onboard mics from the Zoom, and yeah, like the audio quality. Hell, we didn't even have headsets for those first couple episodes till we finally like, oh, if we wear headsets, we can hear ourselves talk and know if
we can
like
monitor things.
If we're not in front of the microphone or whatnot. It's like those little lessons you learn like along the way.
So yeah, I mean it's definitely been a good time, and you know the fact too of you know the. I mean, you know, some of the people that we've brought on and everything are friends of ours and, you know, people that, you know, we kind of lost contact with and, you know, then you rekindle friendships and then, you know, yeah, it's just been good from that standpoint.
Yeah, because like episode, what was it? Might have been episode 3 or 4. It was like very early on. We did the zombie apocalypse episode and brought my old high school buddy, I forgot what our code name we gave him was, Stumpy or whatever. And like I said, I hadn't hung out with that dude in forever and got him in here and hell talked to him for an hour about freaking zombies and whatnot. And Hutch, you know, episode, I think it was like episode maybe 4 or 5. It was like, you know, within the first 10 where we did a whole Josh Whedon episode and you know, talked to him about, you know, being a Dragon Con director and shit like that. So it's like, you know, I think we've met a lot of cool people through the podcast. I mean,
well, I mean, not only that, but I mean, think about, I mean, fuck, dude, we got to sit down face to face, one on one with Timothy Zahn. Like,
yeah.
Anybody that's into Star Wars, like, dude, that's, you know, I mean, some people's like, yeah, you know, they may not be familiar with Timothy or they may not see it, but it's like, fuck, for two guys sitting in a basement to be able to sit down and, you know, have, you know, direct dialogue for 20 minutes with, you know, some of the folks, you know, that we've got to, like, it's been awesome.
Yeah, so, yeah, and especially him, because, like I said, that's an interview I've been trying to get since we've had media access to Dragon Con. I mean, what was this, our third year as official media? And I think I've requested, like, an interview with Zahn, like, every year, but for some reason it's not been approved. This is, like, the first year that it's, like, we completed our set because we had him. We had Kevin J. Anderson, Michael Stackpole. It's like we've got Zahn. We've completed the the Star Wars writers
trifecta. Yes.
So yeah, I was really, and that, and you know a lot of these dudes you expect, like, you know, you especially talk about something that they've you know worked on from the past, and you're like, dude, I've done other things. You hope people aren't assholes, but you know it happens. But then when we sit down, dude was like, so, I mean, we probably talked for another 10 minutes after the microphones went off, just about Star Wars shit in general. I mean, he was very cool to, like, you know, cause I was trying real hard not to fanboy, but like I said, we had a real good conversation even, you know, after the mics were off. So it's like, you know, that's one probably, you know, one thing over 4 years I've learned is how to interview people. You know, it's one thing just us sitting down here bullshitting, you know, like we do every day, but the fact that we've, you know, had a chance to bring other people in and interview them and kind of lead a conversation and not sound like idiots, it's like, you know, it's definitely kind of,
I don't know, I definitely feel like I've sounded like an idiot more than once. Like, you'll have like that great train of thought, you know, where you're like 5 steps ahead, and then like the time comes and it's like, I got nothing, you know, just straight up Kevin Smith, that shit.
But I think, yeah, the podcast has definitely made me more of a social person. Yeah. Like I said, I'm good with my friends, but I don't like talking to strangers. But with sitting through this podcast, and I've, you know, definitely far from being a professional entertainer, I would like to be, you know, so I could do this for a living instead of, you know, having to have a day job. But it's definitely made me more comfortable in social situations and talking to complete strangers about bullshit than I ever was before we started this.
Well, I mean, you find two, you know, common points, and You know, I guess that's kind of been, you know, one of the things that separates us. You know, I feel like a lot of times, like, you know, either podcasters, like, you know, they want to entrap the person they're interviewing or something like that, or, you know, create the next viral, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, as great as that could potentially be, like, you know, that's definitely a turnoff for a lot of guests. Like, you know, like, yeah. In fact, we've sat down with several people that are like, hey, this isn't going to be one of those things where you guys are going to try to entrap me, right? Like, you know, it's like, nah, dude, like, we're here to talk about whatever your passions are. We're not getting into, you know, political, religious, you know, any of the other stuff. Like, you
your
know.
Safe word is kumquat. Yeah, because I mean, that's one thing. I mean, there's some people that you know, get super political and rant and rave, and I'm like, I've never wanted to do that. I mean, I definitely have strong, like, political opinions, but I don't want to fucking spout that because I get annoyed with people. Like, because I don't care which side of the argument you're on. I'm tired of hearing it. Like I said, I want to... this to be fun, like, you know.
Yep.
If like I, you know, like I said, I don't want
a way
be,
to get away from, you know, a lot of
I
the...
don't want to be one of those angry people ranting into a microphone even though those people tend to make more money than us. <'Cause>...
I could definitely, I should do that. I definitely have the hairline for it. I mean, I can certainly pass as an angry old man.
Put on some more weight, you can, you know, Rush Limbaugh it up.
I don't know that I could take it that far, but
and you know, and learning how to use, like, not just the recording device, but learning how to promote and stuff like that. Yeah, and like I'm the freaking Instagram nerd, and always trying to come up with shit and wanting to do more with like our social media side of things. It's, you know, it's definitely been a educational experience. What's say something you've learned over the last 4 years? Is there any like great revelations you've come across in our time here in the Nerd Cave?
I think just, you know, to not be afraid to explore your fandoms and passions, right? I feel like a lot of times, you know, people are worried about being judged or whatever, you know, and that was kind of always, you know, a little bit of my thing was, you know, just a little bit, you know, conscious of, you know, what do people think? And, you know, this is, you know, you know, help me get away from, you know, and, you know, truly be like, fuck what people think. This is my medium. I'm going to do with, you know, what I want. And, you know, like you said, too, getting your, you know, just getting out of comfort zones in general. Like, you know, now, like, instead of just walking, you know, around Dragon Con and, you know, spectating, now it's, you know, hey, we do a thing. We have similar interests. You want to come do a thing with us? Okay, great. You know, like you said, you know, just kind of talking to complete strangers that, you know, yeah, that just wouldn't happen otherwise. You know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, the same reason why I choose to smoke cigars, you know? I mean, it, you know, similarities, ever how small, and next thing you know, like, even though, you know, two different people are on vastly different path of lives, you know, it's, you got some common ground.
Yeah, because that's like the thing we've always said about just hanging out in a cigar shop, because there's so many vastly different people that frequent the cigar shop that, you know, we've made friends and contacts that we wouldn't have made otherwise. We were just, you know, buying our cigars off the internet and smoking alone at home, you know,
which can be
fun too. Yeah, you know, but there's times I do like that solitude of a quiet night with a good cigar. But yeah, the social acts, but like I said, I've got two humidors at the house and they're mostly stay empty because I go to the cigar shop to smoke so I can talk to people. You know, it's like, you know, sitting by myself smoking just gets, you know, I enjoy the cigar, but it gets boring. I love the social aspect of having a cigar and, you know, talking to people about cigars, or hell, I don't even care about sports unless I'm at the cigar shop. Like, I'll watch a football game when it's on there and I got people to watch it with, but I don't sit at home following, you know, the various teams or whatnot.
Yeah, I think we were watching, you know, even tennis one night or something, and I was like, whoa, these people that retrieve the ball are, like, uber serious, like.
Except golf. I still don't get that shit. Every cigar shop you go into, there's a fucking golf game on, and I'm just like, how do you watch
but
this shit?
even with golf, I mean, we were there a couple of weeks ago, and there was
visually, it looks great.
A tournament on, and, like, you know, three different times the ball went into the crowd. Like, that's the first time I've seen that. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, you see people scattering, you know, to try to get out of the way, and it's like...
It's like watching somebody
I would watch golf if that occurred more.
Yeah, it's like watching NASCAR for the wrecks. Ooh, is someone going to get hit? I hope they get hit in the nuts. It's like America's funniest videos, but live. Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, once again, you know, you look at it from all kinds of different perspectives. And, you know, that's one of the things that the podcast has taught me is to, you know, it allows other people to weigh in their perspective that otherwise I narrow-mindedly would have, you know, never fathomed. So,
the other thing, too, about the podcast is we've, at this point, smoked 100 different cigars. And, you know, in my day-to-day, like, everyday smokes, you know, there's maybe 5 or 6 go-to cigars that I smoke all the time. And this has forced us to try new things. Even when, like I said, we haven't done one in a few episodes, but when we were doing the Beer 30s each week, it was like trying new things.
All right, all right. So speaking of Beer 30, what is your most memorable Beer 30?
Oh, I think my absolute favorite beer has been the Woot Stout. Yeah, because I like a good, strong Imperial Stout. But there is the I think we've done 2, like, did not air beer reviews where we drank them.
Yeah, and I was afraid
and
they
were so disgusting. We were like, I can't even talk about this. One of them was the, was it the Warlock?
The Warlock, and
the
then
fucking
there was
pumpkin
the
beer.
Rogue Sriracha.
Yes, like, both of those. Like I said, we were so disappointed that we didn't even, I don't think, air. I know we didn't air the Warlock one because it tasted
no,
like.
No, I don't think we ever aired the Sriracha either. I'm not sure. And, you know.
Because, yeah, the Warlock was.
You know, and kudos to Jason for, you know, manning the fuck up and drinking the fucking Sriracha beer. Like. Kudos to that motherfucker, because
that thing was disgusting. Because yeah. I've had a few peppery stouts, some peppery beers that has like a little hint of some burn to it, and it's well balanced.
Had some of the, you know, habanero IPAs, you know, yeah. Habanero and pineapple, or, you know, whatever.
The Sriracha beer just tastes like somebody took a bottle of Sriracha and squeezed it into a beer. Like there was no
just
balance.
Throw in
to
some
it.
Yeast for good measure.
Oh, it was horrible. And then the Warlock just tasted like someone poured, like, pumpkin spice into the beer. There was no balance to it. Just like, they just dumped all the nutmeg and cinnamon directly into the beer, shook it up, and said, here you go. Except there's, like, just about every Halloween we've pulled out a pumpkin beer of some kind, and it's like, some are good, but this one was like, oh my god, that's the worst thing we have ever drank.
Yeah, those are the two that, you know, just,
yeah,
I don't know, you know, I mean,
can't recommend it.
You know, some folks have asked, you know, hey, why are you no longer doing the Beer 30? Have you guys quit drinking? Well, not necessarily, but, you know, we both are, you know, kind of on a little bit of a diet kick, and, you know, I myself have dropped probably 40 pounds over, you know, the last 6 to 8 months, so, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that the Beer 30 was the root cause of it, but, you know,
oh yeah,
I was definitely drinking more beer than, you know.
Yeah, I lost a good amount of weight, and then I kind of stalled after Dragon Con. I gotta get back into the routine of eating right. It's one of those, like, you get in the habit, and then you, like, I blow the habit all to hell that week, and it's kind of like being addicted to something and relapsing. It's like really hard to get back to like eating right again. I'm like, I haven't gained like all the weight back. I've gained some of the weight back, but not like a huge amount. I'm still below where I started, but yeah, I got to get back into the routine of diet and
so
exercise.
What we're saying is if we're out and about, we're not going to deny having a beer with you, but you know, to just sit and drink, you know, 3 or 4 beers, you know, and then be like, hey, we got to upload this thing, you know, especially when you were rooming with me and stuff. It was like, you know, it's like, damn, we went through some beer.
Oh, yeah, freaking, we'd get, back when the Crafty Draft was open, go get a bunch of growlers and, like, log 4 or 5 Beer 30s in one session. Or seeing how many of those untapped badges we could unlock in a weekend sampling different beers. It was like a achievement unlocked. And then we got old and fat and like, well, maybe we should like, you know, cut back a little bit.
I don't know. I think for me, when we went and saw the movie premiere of Range 15, and you know, the entire time they're picking on Jared Taylor, you know, about his weight and stuff, and you know, it's like, yeah, we can bang when you get down to a cool 185, and I'm like, I need to be a cool 185.
It's like, I don't want to be the second fattest friend anymore. Oh, Lord, hot dog. Yep, we used to have a list of every cigar we've tried, but my computer crashed, and I didn't really feel like going through all the episodes to rebuild that that list.
That may be a thing that's on the data I extracted for you.
Oh, yeah, I got to get a freaking hard drive so I can copy
well,
that stuff.
I was thinking, my hard drive's got a USB port, so, I mean, you know, as long as you got a big enough hard drive there, I mean, that should have been a thing we were doing prior to starting to record.
The way it'd be done by the time we finished. But, yeah, so do you remember, like, a favorite cigar out of all this? Because, like I said, it's after so many cigars, it's like I have a hard time remembering what we have smoked and what we haven't. Is there anything that stands out in your memory?
I mean, it's going to be cliche because, I mean, it's one that, you know, how... Okay, so the Punch, what was it, Grand Puro? That was one that was a daily favorite for a long time. Most recently, it has been the Punch Diablo. Like, you know, and it's kind of crazy, too, because that's two Punch cigars, but, like, when I would go to the cigar shop, I typically don't opt for a Punch, you know? Most of the time, you know, when budget allows, you know, my daily go-to is, you know, I really, really like the Diamond Crown Julius Caesar. You know, that is kind of my staple, but, you know... At $16-17 a pop, I mean, you know. But now, like, I don't know. With the Diablo, one, it's nearly half the cost. But two, there's so much more intensity behind it. But, I mean, then again, like, we've got gems like what we're smoking right now. But, I mean, I can't make... I mean, this is up there with the Opus, right? I mean, this is a... celebratory, a birthday, you know, something else. This is not my, I'm just going to reach in the humidor. Now, some people will do that with the Opus, and, you know, hey, more power to you. I want to be like that one day, you know. I've got the drive and ambition, so
yeah,
I mean.
Definitely, finances kind of dictate my smoking palate most of the time. But, yeah, I mean, this is a great cigar, but it's one of those that's like I have to find a special occasion to justify spending $20, $30 on a cigar, where in that $9, $10 range, it's like, all right, cool, that can be my daily smoke. And yeah, I agree, the Grand Puro and the Diablo has probably become, and then the Punch Singer series too has kind of become a daily smoke for me. I think it seems like I always end up falling back on Punches or CAO. We smoked a lot of CAO cigars, and those are always...
I know for you, like, the Flathead 660, you know, it's kind of your, you know...
Yeah, it's been, like, yeah, that was my main cigar for
a long time. But, you know, then again, like, there's...
going up on them. No,
there's
like
been others, like the, you know, the Rocky Patel, the Sun Grown, you know, that we got to try, and, you know, that night, sit down with Rocky Patel, you know, and talk to him for 20 minutes. You know, that's kind of been the other, you know, cool side of things is, you know, not only the, you know, the conventions and, you know, the, you know, that type of stuff, but just, you know, some of the industry folks that, you know, this has allowed us to talk to that not just, you know, I mean.
Yeah, we haven't done that many interviews recently because scheduling is not allowed and there's. You know, because we, for a while there, we were trying to go to every cigar event we could find and track down people, but we've just been just too busy. But yeah, out of, like I said, the cigar people we have, the professional cigar people we've been able to to meet and sit down with? You know, do you have a favorite interview? Like you mentioned Rocky Patel. Like I said, Rocky Patel is probably the biggest guy we've met so far. And for him to sit down for, I mean, it was probably at least a 20-minute interview. And like I said, it was like, and yeah, talking to us like colleagues, and it was like, this was probably at the time one of the highlights of the, you know, interviews we had done, at least for the cigar industry.
And I don't think that we ever got an official interview, but sitting down with Oscar from GTO Cigars, that guy is a riot.
Yeah, every time we run into him, we've yet to been able to. We always end up running into him when we don't have.
I would almost be a little bit afraid to have a microphone.
But oh, it would be interesting. Yeah, it's like I got to track him down next time he's coming to town and actually just bring our equipment with us and try to, like, you know, pin him down for an interview, because we've never been able to, like, schedule one. But, like, every time we run into him at an event, he is, like, absolutely hilarious to talk to. We need to just...
Island Jim is just an all-around cool dude. He is the epitome of, you know, when I, you know, the, you know, 5 o'clock somewhere. Like, I feel like that dude lives, you know,
he's
5
Jimmy
o'clock,
Buffett
24/7. Yeah, I mean...
And his cigars are interesting, too, and, like, because, like, if you see the Island Jim cigar, there's, like, this hippie-looking dude with sunglasses and long hair and a Hawaiian shirt. And it's like, you think that's, like, just a corporate logo or whatnot. And then you, like, meet the guy in an event, and you're like, oh, no, that's a self-portrait right there. That's that is Island Jim. But the Leaf cigars, too, by them, the Leaf by Oscar.
I see that one getting photographed a lot. You know, just
that was a great cigar. And
yeah, I mean, and it's kind of a cool concept that it's, you know, wrapped in a full tobacco leaf. So, you know.
That and the other Island Jim that just came out, the San Andreas Island Jim. I've been wanting to try that. I hadn't tried it, but it's the same Island Jim, like, picture, but he's wearing a sombrero on the cigar band. But I've yet to sit down and smoke it. But yeah, that was, like I said, the Rocky interview was good. And then, what was his name? Rodriguez, the CAO blender that we sat down with.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Ricky.
I think that sounds like it might be it. I don't know. The name kind of slips my mind. I you know, I'd kind of forgot about that. I mean,
'cause that was probably one of the most, like, informative interviews we've done, because, like I said, we've talked to, you know, cigar company heads like Island Jim, Rocky Patel, was it Glenn from Christoph Cigars. But that was the first time we had like a master blender to sit down and talk to, like, what goes into, like, because that's probably the magic, or, you know, science is taking these individual leaves and blending them into something that, you know,
compliments and works together.
It's like, I don't know how someone takes, like, you know, this tastes like this, and if I mix it with this and this, I'm gonna get, you know.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, what makes a good chef, right? I mean, you got all of these individual ingredients, and you can't just combine all the ingredients and think that this dish is going to come out spectacular. Or, you know, we'll throw it into a, you know, mixology, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, combining a lot of booze together doesn't equal great booze, as we've experienced.
Oh, like the flesh wound. Oh, but yeah, it's like, you know, I've never had the time when one's coming around, but I would love to take one of those cigar blending classes and actually see the, you know, how, because, like I said, that's one of the things I've always, bucket list items is that, whatever, cigar safari trip, where you actually get to blend your own cigar while you're on the touring the factories and whatnot.
Yeah, and that was kind of the, you know, I mean,
a fun thing to do.
The interesting thing is, you know, trying the individual components. You know, I think we talked on the last episode, you know, when we did the 100% Ligero NAS cigar, you know.
Yeah. I love a cigar with some Ligero, but when you're smoking just Ligero, you're like, oh God, this sucks. It hurts.
Luckily, it was only, you know, about the size of a standard cigarillo. So, I mean, you know, it wasn't like, God, could you imagine that in like a 60 ring gauge?
That, and I remember I got a hold of a cigar one time from, it might have been, I think it was Tim, and some, you know, cigar rep had left him with, but it was wrapped in multiple wrappers. So like each inch of the cigar was a different, you know, the internal blend was all the same, but each inch of the cigar was a different leaf. So it was like you could, it was kind of interesting smoking that and seeing how the different wrappers changed the flavor of the cigar as it went, which was kind of real interesting to be able to smoke it like that and see see how you don't realize how much effect the wrapper has on the flavor of the cigar.
Yeah, see, I've seen some things, you know, where basically it is designed so that you smoke an individual component, you know, so like, you know, you would have your,
yeah, it was,
you know,
was
your wrapper, your filler, your binder, all at separate things, and then, you know, after you tried each of the individual components, then there was a full cigar that, you know, combined all of the components. And
if you haven't seen, I think it was like Cigar University or something like that had that package where you got like little cigaleros of the individual tobaccos to like compare with the final blend. I was like, that was kind of cool.
And, you know, I guess that's been the other thing, too, is, you know, I mean, doing the podcast, even though it's not, you know, technically centered around cigars, you know, 100%, but I've learned a lot, you know, and, you know, some of what I learned has not been, you know, great. I mean, you know, I mean, there's been some medical advances as far as, you know, lassos and, you know, removing objects from the human body. You know, so,
and we're pretty sure Skynet is going to kill us all at some point.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, you've been talking about the impending robot, you know, doom since like the first day I met you. Like,
and it's no less true.
Every day we are a step closer.
I see me like one day just becoming Woody Harrelson from, how was it, 2012, or that freaking John Cusack End of the World movie, where he's like the crazy guy in the Winnebago out and like the ranting about the end of the world. That'll probably be me one day. If I hadn't have got married, that definitely would have been me one day, living in my Winnebago in the middle of a park, telling people about conspiracy theories and how the world is going to end.
I have a feeling she would probably move into the Winnebago with you. It is really weird that you married the female version of you. And I'm not sure if, you know, that's her, just, I need to be the female version of him. or what, so, you know.
I mean, I've got her shooting guns and smoking cigars now. It's like, she's gone all in on my crazy.
There you go. When two crazy people, you know.
Your crazy matches my crazy.
Does it neutralize the crazy or does it just multiply? How does that
depends
work?
Depends on the day. I mean, she's like, no, it's not ISIS. Go back to bed. And then, yeah. And other times she's like, yeah, it's fucking ISIS. Get the shotgun. It's like, it depends. Oh, shit. So, you know, we talked about our favorite cigar guests, you know, of the, cause this has been the one thing, you know, being able to, because, you know, old Dragon Con veteran, but then, like I said, the last 3 years getting to be able to go as media and actually interview people, and even going to, you know, the Cincinnati steampunk, fuck, I'm brain farting now.
Oh, symposium. Symposium, yeah.
You know, and doing like a live show and a panel on cigars and with that. Do you have any favorite, you know, non-celebrity guests we've had on the show or been able to interview through the years?
I think some of the NASA scientists. One, you know, I always have loved science, you know. More specifically, you know, convective storms and that type of thing. Like, I don't know.
We've got to get a storm chaser on the episode. We need to find some storm chasers.
I am a certified weather spotter now. I mean, that is a real thing, but, you know. Don't quit your day job. I guess in springtime I'll go to, you know, hit the Midwest and, you know, be like, yep, there it is. So, I don't know. You know, just one of those weird passions. I don't know. I mean, I always kind of, you know, viewed myself as a skinnier version of Dusty from Twister. Like, yeah, I'm going to have a bus, I'm going to blast some metal, and I'm going to, you know, freaking ride out these storms.
I just want the steak and eggs, man. That meal looked really good on that on Twister.
You know, up until I saw that, like, that was not a combination of food that I was like, I would ever just go, but I'm a legit steak and eggs fan now. Like,
shit's good, man. Steak is for breakfast, too. It's
and chicken and waffles. Like, a lot of people don't understand, but, dude, it's an amazing combo. It just works, okay?
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, just, you know, some of the scientists, I think, you know, that we've had on, and, you know, just like, it, to me, it's almost intimidating, right? Because you know that this person is smart as shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, how do you sit down with this person and, you know, not just make a complete dumbass of yourself? Like, to me, that's, you know, kind of a challenge. And then you sit down and, you know, once again, you just find some common ground, you run with it, and the next thing you know, you're talking about jet propulsion and, you know, shit like that that I've never studied a day in my life, but hey, it's magic.
Yeah,
that's the magic of podcasting.
You know, like I said, I love science. Like I said, I like the fact that, like I said, that's one of the things from the beginning that I wanted to include was the science segment, so to give me a reason to look up weird shit. But most of the time it's me just like looking up IFL science and talking shit, you know. So it was so interesting to sit down with someone who has multiple degrees and has, like, you know, I build things that go to space, and getting someone who knows actual science to, like, talk to us. And even, like, I think Stephen Grenade was a great interview. Like, need to get him back on the podcast, because just him, like, you know, being able to explain, like, you know, the science behind TV shows and whatnot, and what is, you know, accurate science versus what's absolute bullshit, and then making it, like, entertaining, because not only is he, like, a freaking scientist, he makes weird DragonCon TV videos and is, like, under, and then the when we talked to the BattleBots guys about what goes into, you know, making those things, and, you know, it, you know, hearing someone who's passionate about, you know, robotics and you know, making science competitive was very, and of course me being the huge Star Wars geek who has, like, the massive Star Wars library, you know, being able to talk to probably three of my favorite, you know, writers about, you know, their writing process and how they develop these characters that I've known for years, especially, like I said, Caron Horn is probably, you know, one of my, because I was former law enforcement, so a Jedi who was an ex-cop, you know, was kind of like, has been one of my favorite characters. Being able to sit down with the creator of that character and have a 15-minute conversation was probably a highlight for me.
I think another one, like, you know, not really science-related, but, you know, I mean, you know, when we got to sit down with MC Lars at Van's Warped Tour a couple of years ago, like, that was awesome. Like, you know, just, you know, learning, you know, the background, you know, of a English major turned, you know, rapper with, like, seven other degrees, and, you know, just, you know, and just being able to sit there on a lawn and, you know, chit chat. And I mean, you know, it's
and probably one of the absolute nicest dudes we've met. 'Cause, like, we met him on, like, early on. We were like, only a couple episodes in, and we had went to he was opening for MC Chris, and we went to his show and was talking to him, getting, you know, buying merch, getting autographs. He's like, oh, you guys do a podcast? You know, hey, you know, here's my card. If you ever want to, you know, talk to me on the pod, I'll be on your podcast. Like, just, like, straight up, like, you know, and it took us, like, a few months to finally, you know, get that scheduled to happen where we did the Warped Tour. But yeah, it was like, for him just to kind of like, are you guys a podcast? Cool. Can I be on your show? I mean, it was just, we're like, sure. None of this, like, how many numbers do y'all have? Like, yeah, this is, like, kind of vetting us. It's like, nah, dudes, I'll be on your show. That was always a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's one of the things that I've always liked, you know, about, you know, a lot of different indie artists, you know, and, you know, using artists in the terms of, you know, not only legit artists, but, you know, music or, you know, whatever the case is. And, you know, like you said, you know, some people just being like, hell yeah, this is fun. Let's do it. You know, I mean.
Oh, speaking of artists, did you say shit with Banksy?
No.
Ultimate troll move. Because, you know, Banksy's this, like, street artist that no one really even knows his, like, real identity, but his artwork is going for, like, millions of dollars. So he made a canvas print in this nice frame and sent it out into the world and waited. I don't know how long he waited, but eventually this thing went up for auction. And he had rigged the frame as a shredder. So someone is hidden in the audience with a remote control, and right after this thing sells for, I think, $4 million at Sotheby's, it self-destructs. Right after it sold for like several million, might have been like 1.4, it was like a huge amount of money, and it just self-destructs right in front of everybody. I was like, that is the ultimate troll move.
So do you still get to keep the funds at that point, or does that, you know?
Yeah, I didn't look to see if the guy still had to pay the whatever millions of dollars, but I'm like, that is hilarious. Oh, it's one of those things like troll or asshole that we we talked about.
But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on, you know, if it is a truly unique piece or if it was just a, haha, you know, this one's shredded, but no, here's, you know.
Oh, no, he's released a video of him, like, rigging this thing up and waiting. It's hysterical.
I don't know. You know, I could see that either. I mean, because, you know, it kind of sucks, you know, if somebody truly appreciates the art, right? Yeah. They're not just in it because, hey, this guy's blown up, you know, in fame or whatever, and, you know, I can flip this piece or whatever, you know? I mean, I don't know. It's crazy to me. Like, I've bought $20 artwork that I put in, you know, $200 frames. Like, I mean, yeah. You know, just because I love the artwork.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's another thing, too, going on the con scene. All the artwork and stuff is, as far as interviews go, too, some of the ones where it's been not just the 15-minute out-and-about interviews, but when we've actually been able to get people here in studio to sit in with us for an entire episode has been real fun. Like we mentioned Hutch earlier, you know, with the Josh. When we got the Georgia Paranormal Group?
Yes.
I can't remember their name right now, but we did the whole ghost episode and had three actual ghost hunters here and just talked ghosts for an hour. Or when we had Michael McGinnis on, you know, talking about the, you know, because we're, you know, love playing board, not just video games, but board games, but actually talking about what goes into creating a video game. I said, you know, it's been kind of cool to, you know, in hell when we had, you know, Rhino here to, you know, talk about, you know, his experience with Range 15, and he brought us whiskey and cigars. It was great. I think it was like the first time I got to try,
first time, and, you know, then we were kind of hooked on it.
And now, luckily, it's, like, available everywhere. Yeah. Before, we were, like, trying to have to buy that shit off the internet from New York.
Dude, I had it, like, shipped from, like, New York or something, you know? I mean, it, like, luckily, you know, if you bought, you know, one bottle was just a flat rate shipping. So, you know, if you bought one or three bottles, you paid the same price. But, you know, I was like, I got to buy, like, five bottles to justify, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's been kind of cool. And just the excuse to sit down and watch old movies that we haven't seen in like 20 years, you know.
Or watch new movies that, I don't know,
are worth discussing.
There's definitely a Fatal Future episode happening, though. Folks are like, what is Fatal Future? If you've got Amazon Prime, educate yourself.
Oh, God.
Can't stress it enough.
I gotta finish watching Iron Fist. I'm like four episodes in. I gotta finish that before Daredevil starts.
I think it's old, but I watched ABCs of Death last night.
Yeah, it's from 2012. I looked that up. It's like, yeah. I may have to.
But I mean, it was an interesting concept because 26 letters and, you know, 26 different, you know, directors doing a short story to explain what their letter. So I mean, it was kind of a guessing game, you know, and there were some that, you know, you just got to see it. Like,
where did you find it? Is that on Amazon or is that on Netflix?
I think I saw it on Hulu. It may be on, you know, some other ones, but I saw it on Hulu.
Yeah, I may have to look that up because that looked interesting. You don't see many anthology movies anymore. I remember Creepshow used to be good back in the day. Like, you know, those
but
little,
I mean, it's
like,
great because, I mean, you get everything
movies.
From, you know, I don't know. Very some Zombiever-esque moments.
Zombiever. Oh my god, I forgot about that movie. That was the other one too that we like went on this weird like let's go to the deep dark corners of Netflix and see find the weirdest movies we can find. It was Zombievers, and what was the stoner horrors, the stoner zombie one?
I think it was called Stoner Zombies or something. I don't even remember.
Where somehow like they smoked weed and it brought the dead back to life. That was a stoner zombie that he had to keep smoking weed to stay alive. I mean, it's kind of like when we said when we found local podcasts and realized, oh, we can do that too. Those are the type of movies that are like, if I had money and a camera, I could be a filmmaker too. Because if this counts as a movie, I could totally do this.
Hey, man, I know it's old and it's overused, but remember, somebody, at one point said, hey, we should do sharks inside of a tornado.
We're just still got to watch the last one of those. I don't think I've seen the last Sharknado movie
I've
yet.
I don't think I've seen, like, past, like, the third one. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen it set through at least four of them at this point. I don't think I saw the fifth. Hell, there may be six at this point. I don't even
it's
know.
It's almost like Tremors. Like, there's more movies that show up that you're like, when did this happen?
Oh, yeah, there's a new one on Netflix I've not had a chance to sit down and watch. It's like A Cold Day in Hell or something like that. Now they're fighting graboids in, like, Antarctica or some shit. It's like...
But, I mean, once again, that's kind of the beauty is, it allows you to explore stuff. And I, I'm a big fan of, just cheesy-ass B-horror films, right? I mean, because I look at it and say, I could do that. But then I realize, no, I can't do that because I have zero vidity things. Like, I don't know. I think the other thing, too, while we're talking about, kind of, just making shit is, some of the like leather crafters and stuff like that that we've had an opportunity to, just talk to and, learn, about different trades. And, I fell down a deep hole and now I have a working leather shop.
Yeah, we need to make some more leather things. I got to repair my gauntlets. I need to make a couple more, steampunk pieces. Oh, and yeah, I remember when we did the, our haunted house review episode or we try to like talk about is all the haunted houses that were going on. And it's just given us an excuse to go out and do things for, if nothing else, we got a cool story to talk about on the podcast.
It may not be cool to other people, but it was cool to us. And apparently people listen. So,
Yeah, that's been one of the weirdest things about doing the podcast. It's always like just amazes me is when we run into someone that we don't know that knows who we are. Because
it was like we were at the Dragon Con cigar meetup this year, and I'm just walking back from the humidor and a lady pulls me aside like, hey, you're one of the cigar nerds, right? Yeah. It's like, man, I really got turned on to your guys' episode, when we did the Bride episode. And she's like, you guys just brought a whole different angle to things, and I love that. And it's cool to be out and about and have people that are giving you that type of feedback.
Yeah, because I mean, we kind of record in a vacuum. Yeah, we don't have a live studio audience, and Facebook is kind of we get comments here and there, but we really don't have that much of a interaction with the people.
So, do you think we should start a Skype channel and just leave Skype open and, randomly have people like, hey, I want to jump in now. All right, here we go.
Do like a Facebook Live episode or something like that. Or I've been thinking about because you now like they give you the option of starting like not just the fan page, but you can actually start like a Facebook group. I'm thinking about starting one of those just so we can have more interaction with people. But yeah, it's always amazing.
Let's open it to the people that are, actually listening. What would you guys like? We both got, faces for radio, so I mean,
yeah, we're
video
100 episodes
might be
in, we're running out of ideas. What do you want to see for the next 100? What's some new shit we haven't done that y'all think we
and
should
do? And we even welcome the feedback that you guys just need to go the fuck away.
But yeah, I remember like the first time was that, we went to a cigar event and we're wearing our Real Men Smoke Cigars, Cigar Nerd shirts. And one of the cigar guys was like, oh, yeah, I know who you guys are. Like, we're like, really? Yeah. Or like I think one of the first years went to Dragon Con and I'd had a Cigar Nerd t-shirt on that I'd had made. And some girl just randomly on the street is like, are you one of the cigar nerds? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, I love y'all's show. And so it's so weird because we don't, like I said, have that many interactions with the people. Yeah, we see the numbers on the website, you know, and get the occasional comment. So we know someone's listening, but it's always great when you run into someone who's not someone we personally know in real life that listen to the show and like, oh yeah, I enjoy what y'all are doing. It just kind of always blows my mind that we're not just talking to ourselves each week. People are actually listening to this shit.
So folks, what do you want to listen to more of?
So is there a interview or a topic that we've not done? Who's someone that if we could interview anybody that you would love to get on the show?
I don't, dude, that's real hard.
I really wish we could have got Sharknado guy at Dragon Con, but that didn't get approved because I would really like to talk to him.
Or Ric Flair. That would have been another fun one.
Oh, yes. Woo!
Just woo for the mic, Rick. Woo for the mic.
That can be the only interview. Just give us a woo. That's all we need, sir.
We should have just been like, I've got a bug. Just woo real quick.
Yeah.
That'd probably cost $20.
I'll tell you one thing I want to do. I've yet to go to the Bigfoot Museum up in LJ. I want to do a cryptozoology episode. I want to talk to the Bigfoot hunters. we did the ghost hunting episode. I want to get the fucking Bigfoot people on the show and talk to them about Bigfoot.
Not knocking it, but, you know, I know people that have gone, and there's a level of seriousness, and I'm not quite sure I can get on that same level of seriousness, you know, and, you know, maybe that's just my skepticism, but I mean, like, I don't know, you know, I mean...
Sometimes the crazy's fun, man. Just turn on the microphone and see what happens.
But I don't want to be insulting to a potential guest and be like...
Oh, that's why I want to go to the Bigfoot Museum and just see what the fuck it's all about.
It's all about Squatch, man.
Let's do some squatching.
Sounds like it should be a gym routine.
Give me 30 Squatches.
I don't know. I mean... But no, talking about, you know, guest, I mean, I feel like Stephen Lynch would be somebody I would love to have. I've seen him live once, and it was just, you know, hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that's one concert I've not been to yet. I really want to go. Every time he comes to town, I always, like, don't hear about it till it's, like, the last minute, and I'm like, fuck, I want to go to that so bad.
Then, let's see.
Weird Al would be like probably like a fucking bucket list guest if we could ever talk to Weird Al.
Weird Al would be kind of cool. I don't know. I would think, you know, maybe a Chris Hardwick or somebody. Like, I don't know. See, like, but then again, like, you know, all of these people have their own shows, or, you know, a lot of them now, you know, their own, you know, podcasts and stuff. And it's like, you know, how do you really, you know, hash out conversations with stuff like they haven't already, you know, talked about. Like, I feel like a lot of times, like, you know, at some point it's like everything is said that could be said.
I got to met Nick Palmisano at Dragon Con, you know, when they were doing the Range 15 tour. I'd love to meet the rest of the Drinking Bros. Like I said, it's one thing, like, I've always, I want to meet Matt Bess and JT and, like, Ross Patterson, like, he'll show up on people's podcast. Like, I need just to send him an email and be like, bro, can we do like a book episode and have you on to talk about your book? Because, like, he's one of those guys that would probably do it if we send him an email. We need to reach out to Ross and be like, bro, can you come on our podcast? That might be my thing I'd do. I'd go home and like shoot him an email and be like, we need you on the show, because that dude would be funny as fuck to talk to. Or Rocco. Like I said, he's a cigar guy. We talked to... the Warfighter Tobacco guys, and we still need to order some of their cigars so we can do a proper review of the Warfighter. But those guys were interesting to talk to on, you know, via Skype.
I mean, yeah, I think that's the thing for me. Like, you know, when we're doing interviews and stuff, like, you know, some of the lesser known creators, you know, to me are, you know, almost more, you know, enjoyable because, you know, like, I, you know, seeing stuff, you know, that's been talked about over and over and over again. Yeah, it's cool because you're, you know, sitting there face to face with that person or whatever. But then again, it's just the same rehashed ideas, whereas sometimes, you know, with lesser known folks, like, everything's new. It's fresh. It's, you know.
Yeah, for.
And then you're on the, you have the potential to be on the cutting edge and be like, yeah, I was talking about that before all these other millions of people were.
As far as bucket list items and stuff I would like to do in the next 100 episodes, I've always wanted to go to IPCPR. Like, and, you know, and they do have.
I was going to say ICP. I was like, yeah. Well, that can be arranged. You just got to bring some Faygo.
But I mean,
get some throat tattoos.
I think we have, because I've looked into it, I think we have a big enough listenership that we could probably get media passes, but it's in fucking Vegas. And it's like, it's one thing for us to be able to go to Dragon Con where it's like, you know, an hour down the road, even though it's like, you know, $1,500 for a freaking room for the weekend. Yeah. Gonna take a, you know, for someone who's doing a free podcast, it takes a bigger investment for us to go all the way out to Vegas to interview cigar people, but that's one event.
All right, we're gonna start a GoFundMe. Send the cigar nerds to Vegas.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the ones on the that I would love to do.
We'll share our losings with you.
That and the whatever cigar safari down to Nicaragua. But yeah, if the opportunity ever arrives where we can afford to make the trip, I would love to go to the Vegas cigar show.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of curious to see what the listener feedback is on, you know, what our future direction should be.
Yeah, yeah, like I said, it's...
You know, I mean, I feel like oftentimes, right, like we focus like, yeah, we're two guys in a basement, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, we got a good group of friends, like, you know, I mean, fuck, it's always more fun, you know, when we've got other people involved, you
yeah,
know.
So, yeah, we always do this at the end of the show, but... Send us a message on Instagram or at Cigar Nerd Pod. Send us a at Cigar Nerd Pod on Facebook. Send us a message to the Facebook page. Should we start a Facebook group? Should we start doing, like, you know, maybe not full episodes, but, you know, live Facebook live videos and with some more interaction? You know, whatever suggestion you have, or shoot us an email. We're cigarnerdpodcast@gmail.com. You know, send us some feedback. You know, we'd love to hear what you think. Suggestions for the next couple years, like I said, I think doing like a, you know, if we get us a Facebook group going and it looks like there's enough interest, you know, maybe doing a couple like, you know, Facebook live events or something where you can smoke along with us and
yeah,
bullshit,
which, you know, I mean,
bullshit live.
Here we've, you know, talked nearly an hour about ourselves, but I mean, I think probably one of the coolest things, you know, in our infancy was actually getting picked up by the ESO network. Like, yep. You know, I mean, you know, that's a entire network of over 50 different podcasts. You know, so if, you know, we may not, you know, fit every criteria, but I mean, you know, there's something on the ESO network for everyone.
Oh yeah. There's like, you know, multiple different,
because especially different with the Doctor Who simulcast, you know, just wrapping up and everything, like, you know, I've already heard great things on our new Doctor.
Yeah, I did not get a chance to see it, and I kind of got lost like halfway through like Capaldi's last season, so I'm kind of behind. But I need to, like I said, so far she's getting, that first episode is getting great reviews, so I have to jump back on and check out the new Doctor. Hell, as far as like new stuff on TV, the fucking Mayans has been badass. Like, you know, we're hardcore like Sons of Anarchy fans. We did a Sons of Anarchy episode. You know, this first season of Mayans has been like surprisingly
you didn't buy a
good.
Cut, so you're not that big of a fan.
That's
always entertaining. I love reading the threads of actual bikers versus, you know, people wearing the, you know, just the SOA cuts and stuff, and the amount of back and forth.
I gotta say, I like the Mayans bikes. Like, the Sun's bikes are always, like, you know, very blacked out, but, you know, the Mexican gang has just a little bit more flair with with their bikes. Yeah, like I said, they look cool. And Rocco's been pretty badass on that show too. And as much as I hate reboots, the freaking new Magnum PI has been actually worth watching. It's got like enough the shout outs to the original show that I'm like, all right, this is worth watching. And the new Higgins is kind of hot. Yeah, she's a hot British lady instead of a grumpy old British dude now. But that just kind of adds some flair to the show. So as we wrap this up, any final thoughts on this here cigar?
I can't even get final thoughts because this is a 65-minute smoke, according to the website. And
that's one of the cool things about the Davidoff website. I haven't seen that before, where they give you like an actual estimated smoking time of their cigars. And you know, we've been hour and 3 minutes plus, you know, the whatever 10 minutes on the intro. So yeah, and I still got a good 3 inches of cigar left. So that 65 minute description's pretty accurate.
I will say, okay, so being, you know, just over the halfway point here, phenomenal. The spices there, the woodiness of the cask actually comes through on the cigar.
Yeah.
And that's cool to me. Like, you know, this is definitely one of those that if you're a Scotch drinker or a bourbon drinker, like,
yeah, I'd like to get a nice glass of scotch and see how this pairs. And as much as I hate justifying $22 on something I'm going to smoke, it's been worth it. Like I said, this is a damn good, you know, probably hour and a half cigar by the time we're done with it. And like I said, I'm not disappointed. I didn't feel like I lost money on this investment.
No. The only thing is, you know, it makes me wish I had more.
So with that, we'll be right back. Fascinated with foreign felines since I was knee high. The cigar got me buzzing like a beehive. Fuck my old chick, I'm riding with my new thing. In a blue jeans, panties like shoestrings. Most wanted, I'm be ladding on a beat, nigga. Rubber band jeans sagging on my feet, nigga. 100 grand for the wagon and the feet, nigga. Black flag and just bragging, I'm a street, nigga. On the ground, little rappers wanna eat with us. Trying to shine like Birdman teeth glitters. VMA, find time just to creep with her. So coincidental, walking down the street with her. My loose cheese scooped up the Gucci. In 2 weeks, I flew through the boutiques. She get a time limit when I let her go and shop. Cruising in the car, clip the Cuban at the top. Yes, science! And welcome back. It's time for some science. We've been doing this for a while. Have you learned anything through these 100 or so episodes, other than I'm really paranoid about robots?
I already discussed it previously. I mean, there's all kinds of medical, you know, gadget advancements.
Hashtag butt stuff.
There's, you know.
Look up the shaft.
Dragon Con reference. Nobody got that.
Well, as much as California tends to be on the weird side of things, they may be finally supporting my fight against Skynet, because California just passed a law that goes into effect July 1st of 2019 that will ban robots from pretending to be human.
I mean, all right, but aren't, like, you know, high-capacity magazines, ghost guns, murder. Isn't that shit already illegal? How's that working for you?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. Hey, we outlaw guns, so no one's going to have guns. Yeah, that doesn't, yeah. Yeah. I could see the Terminator showing up and be like, sorry, Arnold, we passed a law. Robots are not allowed to pretend to be human. You have to tell everybody that you're a robot. And yeah, the movie's just over from then.
I mean, you know, if that was the case, everybody would point to, you know, a gun-free sign and be like, nope, this can't happen here. Or, you know, so,
sorry, this is a robot-free zone. You can't be here.
I mean, you know, but then somebody's going to have to come and, you know, support, you know, Robot Lives Matter or something too. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I just see a big clash. I mean, you know.
Johnny Five is not alive.
You know, humanoids, you know, are people too. You know, I mean, you know, why do we, you know. Now in the era of gender identification or lack thereof, I mean, why do we have species identification?
Are we going to have like a robot sanctuary cities?
What if the robot doesn't identify as a robot?
Are we going to have robot sanctuary cities? This is what this is going to cause. Yeah, signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown. Basically, they're trying to fight what they're, you know, like fake news and whatnot on social media and Twitter because, you know, they're saying these, like, you know, bots and stuff and fake websites and fake accounts on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot are wrongly influencing in media and whatnot. So with this law, which I don't know how they'll actually enforce it, you have to be made aware that you're talking to a robot. They're not allowed to pretend to be human and try to sell you shit or influence your political thinking, or, you know, taking human form and trying to kill all of humanity.
But then again, I mean, you know, sometimes it's completely obvious, you know. I mean, I play a lot of, you know, MMORPGs and stuff like that, you know, with chats, and usually it's very obvious, you know, when something is a bot. But
when you get the weird Facebook messages from Russian ladies that are like, "Hey, would you like to talk? No, you're definitely a robot."
Or ISIS.
Go away, ISIS.
Robotic ISIS. That is your Uber fear.
Like, oh shit! I mean, Russia's already developed that dual wielding Glock bot. So, you know, Skynet's just around the corner. But, you know, now we have a law that he can't pretend to be human when he invades California, which means he's probably going to invade California.
Path of least resistance.
I'm Metal Lives Matter.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it, you know. Species identification. It's you know, I mean, we're already confused about what bathrooms to use and, you know, the basics of biology as it is. So another way to, you know, separate and segregate, just as I see it. just how I see it. I could be completely wrong.
Well, here's another weird one for you.
Oh, boy.
Man finds, turns out the doorstop he's been using for the last 30 years is actually a meteorite worth $100,000.
Pretty sweet investment.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not often folks can just kick around $100,000. See what I did there? Woo, I'm on a roll.
Nah. So, David Mesereth from Michigan found this rock. He apparently bought a barn in 1988, and the old farmer he bought this land from showed him this rock and was like, "Yeah, this is totally a meteor. It landed here in 1930 and made a hell of a sound." You know, and the guy's like, "Yeah, whatever. It's a fucking rock. He's been using it for a doorstop ever since." But recently, he had seen stories online where meteorites were going for pretty good money and stuff. So he decided to take it to the Central Michigan University Geology Department, Dr. Manu Sirabuscu, to find out whether or not this old guy was just bullshitting or if this is actually a meteorite. Turns out it's a 22-pound meteorite that's 88% iron, 12% nickel, and it's probably the sixth largest meteor found in Michigan. But they're saying that it's a kind of a rare mix of elements and is estimated value of $100,000.
There we go. I mean, you know.
I mean, I wish I could find a rock in my backyard with $100,000.
Are you looking?
I am now. Time to break out the metal detectors and
leave no rock unturned.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a hell of a find if something you just been like, yeah, collecting
but
dust.
Then again, like, it's got to be a hell of a door. I mean, what is your typical, you know, doorstop weigh in at, you know, a couple
pounds maybe. You know? You got like a big one.
Like the old iron ones, you know, or something. But,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, 22 pounds. That's going to be just a bitch to move around. To like, probably like, I should have thrown this thing away. It's just, I've tripped over it 50 million times. And like, could you imagine if you'd just been like, "I'm tired of tripping over this thing. I'm just going to throw it out." And turns out it's like a $100,000 meteorite. Right?
Yeah. Hey, what? Quick. Let the search begin.
I mean, we've seen stories of people making swords and guns and stuff out of meteorite. So does he make something fancy out of his $100,000 meteorite, or is he just, you know, sell it to the highest bidder?
Me, I would sell it to the highest bidder and, you know, then go buy myself a $5 doorstop. Maybe it's meteorite too.
buy a whole new house for to put a doorstop in. But they're saying, yeah, this is probably one of the most, you know, significant meteor finds, at least in recent history.
Yeah, people, so stop locking your meteorites indoors.
Speaking of old things being found, Minnesota girl, 8 years old, discovered a 1,500-year-old Viking sword in a Swedish lake.
Yeah, I saw this article. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, however you pronounce this girl's name, Sagu Veniskin. Originally from Minnesota, apparently, like, her mother's side of the family is Swedish, and last year they moved to Sweden to be closer to that size of the family, and was just playing in a lake in some muddy clay, and pulled out what she thought was a stick to start playing with, and yeah, that stick looks like a sword. And so, sure enough, they they took it again to some college to be checked out, and turns out, yeah, it's, you know, a 1,500-year-old Viking sword that's been floating in the, or, well, not floating, but in the bottom of this lake for no telling how long. And since, you know, making the discovery, archaeologists have, you know, studied the lake in the, Mikkel Nordstrom of the Jokoping County Museum in Jokoping, Sweden, said they discovered other prehistoric objects from that lake. They found a brooch from around the same time period and some coins and stuff, and they theorizing so far that could have been a place of sacrifice, so some kind of ancient Viking ceremonial spot. You know, it's no word yet of whether or not she's been, you know, elected king of Sweden, because isn't that how you usually go? You pull a sword from a rock or whatnot, or the Lady of the Lake gives you a sword and it means you're now the new king or queen of
maybe, you know, instead of the sword and the stone, we need the sword and the lake.
Yeah, it's going to be the new, I think.
You know, Disney will be adapting that, like.
And it's funny, you know, her dad is quoting this, saying he's a huge Minnesota Vikings fan, so it's really hilarious that his daughter finds a Viking sword in a lake. It's kind of destiny. Maybe she will be king of Sweden, queen of Sweden.
Did you really just assume her gender?
Who knows? It's time to get that girl an ale horn. You can't be a Viking unless you have a cool ale horn. Speaking of weird things.
I know you're only eight, but
I mean, Elhorn. King Arthur was a child king, right? That's how that story goes. Well, speaking of weird things found in lakes, apparently Canada has its own Loch Ness monster, which I did not know about. The Ogopogo Lake Monster, who's apparently been something that's been rumored for a long time, but there's not been any recent sightings. There's been some reports of this. Apparently there's some old Indian legends about a monster that will rise from the lake during, you know, bad storms and whatnot at Lake Okanagan in British Columbia.
I mean, I'm looking at this. It looks like a wave.
But in the past, like I said, there were some sightings in the 70s and stuff. But there's not been anything reported in a long time. Originally, you know, some of the original sightings were from like 1972. But David Halborough is one of the people who recently caught this thing on video. And within the last week, there's been three separate sightings of what they're calling, you know, they're saying it looks kind of like a giant snake, lizard-type creature, you know, swimming around this
wave,
lake.
Wave, and the wind causing it to ripple.
I mean, this one photo they have, it's kind of like a weird snake-like head popping up out of the water.
Yeah. You see how grainy that is? What kind of camera are you using in today's technology? You pull out the old Polaroid from like 1970 to get that?
Hey, if you use it, you know, the camera zooms aren't that great on your phone. If you zoom in like really, that's the thing too. That's one thing we were speaking earlier, wanting to do a Bigfoot cryptid episode is people are like, everyone has these like, you know, 1080p cameras on their phone. Why are we not getting better photos of these mysterious creatures? But then again, you know, my cat's doing something stupid, and by the time I can pull my phone out of my pocket to take a picture of it doing something stupid, it usually stops doing whatever it's doing. So it's one of those things.
Yeah,
like,
but it's a cat. It's an asshole by nature.
Yeah,
so,
it's one of things like, oh shit, there's a monster. Let me get my phone out. And by the time you get your phone out, it's gone. I mean, it's understandable that, you know, if you're not looking to find a, you know, prehistoric creature, that you may not have your phone just ready to go when you see, you know, the Canadian Loch Ness or Bigfoot or whatnot. So, I mean, it's still plausible that we're not getting great footage of these things even in 2018.
I'm not buying it. Not buying it.
Hey, look, man.
It's a wave.
Skynet is real. Mysterious leg monsters are also real. And ladies giving out swords to determine monarchies is also way real. Or I'm just full of shit. Who knows?
While still continuing to breed badass, you know, metal musicians. Thanks, Toki and Swissguard.
But we, you know, road trip. We can go to. Yeah,
I bet they got food libraries.
We've long been scared to go to Canada because of Tusk. This now may be the reason we go to Canada to hunt the Okapogo monster. We're looking for new things to do on the podcast. We can go hunt lake monsters in a future episode. Something new to try.
So we're going to need to invest in some drones. We're going to need, you know.
Got to get finished getting my scuba license.
We're going to need, you know, some telescopes and some telephoto lenses. And, you know, we're going to get some shit on HD. Not, you know, a Polaroid from 1970.
Totally getting a selfie with the lake monster. That's my goal for my Canadian vacation.
It's gonna be like, that was just a log. Nah, it's really monstrous.
It's a huge log. It's it Liam Neeson skinny dipping. It was just Liam Neeson skinny dipping. Oh, that's all I got for you this week. We'll be right back.
The Pro Wrestling Roundtable is a podcast for wrestling fans by wrestling fans. Every Monday, you can get your wrestling fix with news, interviews, reviews, wrestling talk from the past, present, and future. So much wrestling talk, even Bonesaw McGraw can't resist. Available on ProWrestlingRoundtable.com, iTunes, and the ESO Network. Come on and listen.
And now it's time for all things nerdy.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
All right. So we got some information in gaming news that PlayStation 4 is finally getting crossplay with Nintendo Switch and Xbox.
What?
You know, Microsoft and Nintendo have been on board for this, but Sony, you know, have been fighting, you know, for quite a while and received quite a bit of a backlash, you know, with their original stance that, you know, they didn't want cross-platform play. Well, it looks like, you know, Fortnite will be the first game to, you know, start betaing this potential feature, and, you know, we'll see what games, you know, support it later on. But I mean, I think this is a good first step. I mean, that's always kind of been the big thing is, you know, I've always been partial to PC gaming, but in the console world, like, you know, it just kind of sucks, you know, when it's like, well, this system has these 5 exclusives, but I gotta buy a whole nother system for these other 2 exclusives, and, you know, that, or, you know, my friends play Xbox, but I play PlayStation, yet we can't, you know, play any of the games together. Like, yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, because it being online, you should be able just to play, you know, play whatever. I mean, yeah.
One would think, you know? But, yeah. I mean, I think it's a good step in the right direction.
Get along.
And, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, of course, there's going to be a lot of testing and everything else, you know, that's going to be involved. But at least, you know, Sony is, you know, coming out saying, hey, we're willing to do this. So, I mean,
if Sony can get along with Marvel and let them have Spider-Man, like, can we not just, like, you know, start playing nice with Xbox too?
Yeah. speaking of Marvel, you know, some folks are familiar with Iron Man, played by Robert Downey Jr. Well, apparently Robert Downey Jr. is going to be doing Voyage of Dr. Doolittle. However, the release date has been pushed back. But, you know, kind of curious as a Robert Downey...
Yeah, I mean, the last live-action Doolittle was Eddie Murphy's couple Dr. Doolittle films, so...
But, I mean, you know...
I just want another Sherlock.
Robert Downey, you know, he does have, you know, kind of that quirkiness about him and stuff. I think he could pull it off. Originally, the film was set to release on January 17th of 2020, but looks like now it's going to be April 12th-ish. Well, no, I'm sorry. That was for The Avengers 4. Spoiler. Not really a spoiler, but... So, yeah, January 17th of 2020. So, I don't know. You know, I mean, it might be a good break. I mean, you know, Dr. Doolittle was one of those good, you know, feel-good, veg-out kind of films, you know.
There's nothing like a talking animal movie to fill your time.
I love talking animals, man. Like birds.
Remember when Eddie Murphy used to make, like, you know, adult movies, and then he got on that whole kick of, like, family-friendly films.
I guess, you know, I mean...
It's like all our heroes are getting old and making family films.
Well,
now.
I mean, you know...
I mean, Ice Cube used to be gangster as fuck, and now he's making, like, family films and shit.
See him play an agent in every movie of some sort, you know? But, I mean, you know, I guess that's kind of the thing, right? I mean, you know, do you always maintain that same persona, or do you try to branch out and, you know, potentially appeal to...
I mean, Snoop Dogg's doing game shows now.
A different audience. So, I mean, we live in weird times, my friend.
Everybody gets old and has to grow up. I just want to be a Toys R Us kid, except it went out of business.
See, you can't even... Or did they?
I know, that's the other thing, too. They're like... We're no longer going out of business. We're coming back, even though all our stores are closed and emptied out. But we're going to come back somehow.
Well, I mean, you know, what, you're renting a storefront, right? I mean, you know, I guess you just rent another storefront.
True.
I mean, I don't know. What's in, you know, there used to be a Toys R Us down by your work. Is there anything there now?
Or? It's currently a Halloween city. So the corpse of Toys R Us is now a Halloween store currently. Kind of fitting.
Spooky.
Yeah. It's the store of the living dead.
I wonder if they got ghost giraffes. Moving right along. We got an extended trailer for Aquaman, and I got to say, like, damn it, DC. Like,
they keep drawing
us
back in.
It's so enticing, and it looks like this might be the film that, you know, breaks the mold. But then again, like, there's been so many other films that I'm like, man, the trailer looks freaking awesome. And then the final product is nothing like the...
Yeah, with the exception of Wonder Woman, the DC stuff has not excited me. Like, I always watch it because I'm like, maybe this time it won't suck. And I'm like, nope, still sucks. But... Yeah, that latest, and like we made the joke that someone had like said like the first Aquaman trailer looked exactly like the Black Panther trailer, almost shot for shot. But this new trailer looks bad. I mean, look, visually it looks amazing. Like I said, storyline may suck, but visually it looks amazing. And this new trailer with the action sequences, I mean, Black Manta looks like Black Manta. It looks like some weird mix between Indiana Jones, Tomb Raider, and Jason Bourne with the whole rooftop action sequences.
Yeah, all the parkour and everything else. And I mean, that was the other thing, too. Like, you know, I mean...
And the reveal of the green and gold costume at the end of the trailer that looks like the OG Super Friends, like, Aquaman. And Jason Momoa, I like him as an actor. He's hilarious. As much as, I mean, Justice League was not as horrible as some of the previous installments, but it wasn't great. It was just an okay film. But he was probably one of the highlights. I like him as an actor. He's fucking hilarious. And with this, too, it looks like there's still, like, a little bit of humor. It's not the dark DC universe we've had so far. So
no, and that was kind of the other thing. Is, this you may know, be worth it actually, seeing. You know, looks like, you know, they're trying to. I mean, Marvel's got such a successful formula. How do you not piggyback off that?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it's not like, you know, DC has a limited sandbox. I mean, there's so much they could do. It doesn't all need to be black. Like, you know,
and I said, the TV stuff has been so good, and they've tried to be dark, but they don't go all the way to, like, Deadpool R-rated territory. You know, if you're going to do dark, go fully. Go, like, all the way and give us, like, R-rated shit. You know, but this kind of half-assed
even then, like, you
being
know,
dark, but not that dark. it's kind of been a failure formula so far.
Well, I mean, I once again, I think they're kind of battling, like, hey, I mean, that is kind of the thing, right? You see the Harley Quinns of the world, and you know, girls are like, you know, younger, you know, age, you know. I want to dress up as Harley Quinn and stuff like that. And parents are going to be a little bit less reluctant to allow that to happen if, you know, Harley Quinn is, you know, portrayed on the big screen the way that she is in a lot of the comics and such. I mean, you know, and I think that's where the conflict of interest happens. But, I mean, once again, you know, I mean, just like Deadpool, you know, not all, you know, comic book or superhero films are for kids, like, yeah. You know, and I think...
Which, have you seen the news that they're doing a PG-13 Deadpool, re-releasing it, an edited version for Christmas? That is going to suck so hard. Oh, but I'm just, yeah, it's...
I almost feel like that should be a troll thing, like, it, you know, it, where it it's like, be. You know, like on the cover, you know, PG-13's like crossed out or something. I'm like, nope, still are.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know. Up next, you know, talking, you know, we're in October, the spooky season. You know, The Nun has become the highest grossing film in the Conjuring universe. And, you know, just...
The trailer looks badass. I haven't got out the chance to see any, like, you know, horror movies yet this season. I might need to see that one, because, yeah, I've been hearing it's scary as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like it grossed $330 million worldwide. The Conjuring 2, which previously, you know, topped the series at $320. So, I mean, dude, that's pretty impressive. I mean, you know, especially considering, you know, the $22 million budget. I mean, that's a, yeah. I mean,
it's one thing. That's why horror movies have always been. They're cheap to make, and they always make like a lot of money. Because everybody wants to go see a good horror movie. Hell, everybody wants to see a bad horror movie. It doesn't matter.
Not everybody, but a lot of people.
I mean, Zombiever.
Straight to Netflix.
Oh.
So, you know, talking of, you know, movie releases and everything, looks like Fox has updated release dates for Dark Phoenix, Alita, Gambit, several other films as well. So, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, it looks like Dark Phoenix is, you know, we just got a new trailer not too long ago, but the date has moved from February 14th to June 7th. I hope that, you know, that doesn't change.
Yeah, that's moving it from, I mean, from the winter to like the summer blockbuster season. So maybe they're thinking this is going to be bigger than big enough to survive in the summer months. So we'll see. I'm not, you know, the new like younger X-Men universe has not been that bad. It's been pretty good. You know,
I mean, Dark Phoenix is one of those characters that I'm, you know, I would like to see. You know, it's, you know, one I'm not as familiar with as some of the other ones. So, I mean, you know, there's a breath of fresh life there. Just, you know, hopefully it all pans out. But then again, moving it to the summer blockbuster, I mean, you know, are you going to go toe-to-toe with, you know, some of the other big films that'll be, you know.
Yeah, it's all about to be Disney, so it's we will see. Yeah, because supposedly all that's eventually going to come into the MCU at some point. So yeah, they got to get rid of all the previous stuff that was already in the slot before they can move forward.
Yeah, Alita: Battle Angel. That film has been pushed from December 21st to Dark Phoenix's prior February 14th release date. So I guess they're like, Battle Angel, probably not very good for the holiday season. I mean,
I know nothing about that property, but the trailer looks interesting.
Yes, absolutely. I'm a little bit familiar with it, but I mean, it's something that I will go and, you know, start reading some manga and stuff to become more familiar. Some other changes is Gambit will begin filming in 2019.
That's still a movie?
Yeah, apparently so.
It's been pushed back so many times. It's like I didn't even realize it still was a thing.
Yeah, so apparently that is slated to hit theaters on June 7th, or, you know, originally, and it has finally been moved out to March 13th, 2020, assuming that everything remains on track.
Yeah.
So, who knows? And then addition to that is an untitled Deadpool film that's set to hit theaters December 21st this year. Now, you know, I think that's what we were talking about, you know, previously as a, you know, PG-13 Deadpool 2.
Yeah,
cut, supposedly but
re-releasing that.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Once again, you know,
I think this is just an experiment to show all these people that have been like, we want a PG Deadpool so we can take our kids to it. They're like, all right, this is what you wanted. Look how bad it sucks. Now can we go back to making good movies?
But what if it doesn't?
Oh,
I mean, does that just kill the R-rated superhero thing? You know,
I don't know. The last two Deadpools have made far too much money to fuck with the formula at this point. I don't think Ryan Reynolds will want to...
No, I mean, they've got a good thing going, you know, like you said, why fuck it up, but who knows. And then, you know, we got some pictures of Tom Hanks from the Mr. Rogers biopic.
That looks like spookily accurate.
Yes.
I mean, holy
like,
shit,
it's
he looks
crazy,
like
yes.
Mr. Rogers.
So, you know, that's what I got for you in news. What do you got?
Well, have you heard about the announcement of John? As much as I'm like, I really don't want to spend money on another streaming service, I think they finally said the thing that'll be like, all right, I'll buy the Disney service when it comes out, because they've announced the story of John Favreau's live action Star Wars series, and it's going to be titled The Mandalorian.
Yep.
And then from the brief description, they've released a photo of some Mandalorian in some kind of armor, and it supposedly takes place between, you know, the fall of the Empire and the rise of the New Order. So it's going to be that kind of between the current trilogy and the original trilogy films set in that universe. And it's going to be kind of a, like they say, like a traveling gunman. It's from the description there, it's very much a Western set in the Star Wars universe. And I've always been a big Boba Fett fan, and the Mandalorians are such interesting characters, and the picture they released of the title Mandalorian looks badass. So I'm like, all right, fine, Disney, have my money. I will add to my Netflix subscription and get me a fucking Disney streaming service when it comes out, just so I can watch the Mandalorian. Because I'm like, all right, I'm sold. You said the magic words of Mandalorian. Fine, I'm in. The rest of your shit could not lure me in. I didn't give a fuck about the whatever Loki and Scarlet Witch series, but fuck, there's a Mandalorian. All right, fine. I'll pay for the goddamn Mandalorian series.
And the trap is set.
Yeah, fuck. You finally baited the trap enough. With that, you can check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network at ESOPodcast.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music. Go leave us reviews, rate us, all that good stuff. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at CigarNerdPod. You can pick up your smoking shirts at RealMenSmokeCigars.com. And
hold on, before you finish up, final thoughts on the cigar, now that it's concluded, is phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely did not disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, all of the notes were there that we, touched on. The flavor was complex. It was, full body, full strength, but it wasn't, over the top. It had a very good balance, and yeah, it was great.
StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code Cigar Nerds, 20% off here. Buy more so we can afford to go to Canada and hunt for Loch Ness monsters.
I thought we were going to Vegas.
That too. We got to go to Vegas. So yeah, buy a lot of Strikeforce Energy so we can fund these trips. And with that, here's to another 100 episodes. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.